I want to read a passage of Scripture, which is a prayer from the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we come before you and we pray to you, not because you don't know what's on our hearts, you already know, but because we want to acknowledge you as God Almighty, the maker and ruler of heaven and earth. And Lord, we want to cry out to you, Lord, in the midst of our brokenness, and say, Lord, please save us. Save us as people. Save us as a people. The Lord, take us and use us for your honor and for your glory. We come before you this morning and we praise your holy name, a God who would love us so much that he would send the precious jewel of heaven, Jesus Christ himself, his son, to live and to die and to rise again so that we might be made whole and to call you Father once again. Father, we praise your name. You are holy and you are worthy of praise. Father, our hearts are heavy this morning because little Luke is in the hospital and you know the infection that's in his body, and I'm so thankful for the technology that you have given us to take care of such things. But we want to cover him with our prayers. Lord, we want him to be well. We want him to be back here with us. We want him to know the goodness and the grace and the glory and the kindness of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray for Luke and I pray for his family now. I pray for Frank and Lisa and his mom, Danielle, that you would give them peace during this time and that you would truly take care of them and draw them so close to you. Father, we pray for people that we know and love and people that we do not know that are suffering because of the storm that went through. Lord, your hand is in control of all things. And Lord, I pray that you would use the hardships of people on this earth to draw them close to you. Lord, we pray for those people whose homes have been damaged or destroyed. We pray for those people who are displaced right now from their homes. We pray for those who are at home, but Lord, are without electricity for days on end. Lord, take care of them. And let them lift up your name. Lord, I thank you so much for the testimonies I've already heard of those who are suffering, but who are savoring the sweetness of God in the moment and how good you are. So, Lord, I pray that you would take the brokenhearted and heal them. And, Lord, I pray also that as we step into our text this morning, that you would simply and sincerely draw us to yourself through your word, through the teaching of Jesus Christ. I ask this in his precious, holy name. Amen. If you would, take your copy of Scripture and turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we are making our way through the Gospel of Matthew. And what an expedition this has been. So we're going to cover Matthew chapter 6. And where are we at in the Gospel of Matthew? We are in the Sermon on the Mount. The sermon that Jesus preaches to his people to call them to himself. And he's shaping what it means to be a disciple. And he's been talking about, last week, how a disciple is to give. And the answer to that question is from the heart. Next, he's going to talk about how a disciple is to pray. And guess what the answer to that question is? From the heart. In fact, if you could put a label over the Sermon on the Mount, it's getting to the heart of discipleship. Every sermon almost is titled Getting to the Heart of Something. Today it's going to be Getting to the Heart of Giving, or the Heart of Giving according to Jesus. If you would stand, I want to read verses 5 through 14, and then we'll walk through part of that text together. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let us pray. Father, we pray this morning that you will take the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, allow them to pierce our hearts and call us to yourself. We are so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for Jesus who guides us into your word. So, Lord, I pray that you would take me and let me recede into the background. Lord, take my heart. Cleanse it by the precious blood of Christ. Fill me with your Spirit. And let me speak the words of God this morning. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In 1959, a man by the name of Vince Lombardi took over a struggling Green Bay Packers football team. And between the years of 1959 and 1968, Lombardi led the Packers to 5 NFL championships, including the first and the second ever Super Bowls. Lombardi was quickly recognized as one of the greatest coaches of all time. And do you know what the motto that he had, his coaching philosophy at its very bottom, at its core? Back to the basics. In fact, fundamentals are the key. He was a back-to-the-basics type of coach. He says you do not need any type of complicated offense plan until you get back to the basics of blocking and tackling. In fact, you don't need any special team shenanigans until you can do what you were called to do in high school. Back to the basics. This morning, it's not going to be complicated. We're going back to the basics. We're going to learn how to pray again. And we're going to allow Jesus to teach us how to pray from the heart. If you have your outline with you, you'll see that it's not complicated. How do we pray from the heart according to Jesus? Number one, simply you pray to God. And number two, you pray in faith. Those two things are the things that Jesus teaches us. If you want to open up your heart and pray properly as a Christian, as a disciple, you pray to God and you pray in faith. It's so simple and yet so profound at the same time. So let us begin this journey with Jesus back to the basics, getting to the fundamentals of discipleship. Let us learn how to pray again. Well, before we get started, you're going to ask this question. Well, what in the world is prayer anyway, Pastor? I'm glad you asked that question. What is prayer? Prayer, at its simplest, is a human being talking to God. It's just you talking to God Almighty. You tell Him how much you love Him. You tell Him how glorious He is. You tell Him what's on your heart. your suffering, your pain. You tell him where you've messed up. And you ask him, please forgive me. Prayer is just simply talking to God. And proper prayer is talking to God from a heart that's been changed by God. How do we get to that place that our heart is proper before the Lord? There's a challenge to it, isn't it? Because sometimes we want a sincere, authentic prayer, but what we get is cold, dead routine. The checking of a box. Oh, I've prayed. I sort of liken it, I don't know if you've ever had a commute to work or not, back and forth to work. And after a while, if you do it for enough days and enough months and enough years, one day you will leave work and then you will end up in your driveway and you will ask yourself, how in the world did I get here? You ever had that happen? Like, I know where I was and I know where I am, but I don't know what happened in between except here I am at home. It gets to be so routine that you don't think about it. Your mind and your heart is disconnected from the drive. That is what we do not want to happen when we pray. We want to be engaged. And how do we do that? One of the things that we have to remember is to whom we pray. God. Let me say it. When you pray, you pray to the one who has made the heavens and the earth. It should never be routine. Although it can be brief, it can still be sincere at the same time. It's our heart softened before the Lord. Now, how do we go about doing this? Jesus teaches us how to do that. How do we pray? First and foremost, outline point number one, we pray to God. You see, it seems so simple. In fact, it's so simple that I even hesitate to say it. When you pray, pray to God. But it's so profound. If you don't take the first step in the right direction, every other step is in the wrong direction. So we must go back to the very basics. Number one, when you pray, pray to God alone. How does Jesus work that out in his teaching? Let us read verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Point number one, disciples pray. Look at Jesus' first words, and when you pray. Disciples pray, and how do they pray? They pray not for show. What word does Jesus use to describe those people who pray to be seen by others? Hypocrites. And we've encountered hypocrites already, right? Last week. And what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite was the Greek word for actor. So they would take a mask and they would put it on their face and they would pretend to be somebody whom they are really not. That's what a hypocrite is in a technical sense of the word. And then it became a pejorative word, like, oh, you're acting like something that you are not. Now, how does that apply to prayer? Specifically, how does Jesus apply it to prayer? He's saying they are people who act like they are praying to God, but in reality, they're not praying to God. They are only saying words that sound like a prayer so that they may be seen by others. Do you see how that word applies? They are acting like something that they are not. They act pious, but in reality, they're just playing a part. They act holy, but their prayer is hollow. They act religious, but in reality, they're just self-righteous. And how does Jesus say that? How does that play out in the real world? Then and there, Jesus says, they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. How does it play out? They go to the places of prayer and they pray out loud, not to lead people to God, but to be seen themselves. They go to the places where people will be accumulated, out to the town square or the common green, on the corner where all the people are, and they begin their prayer. not to God, although they're pretending to be to God, but to be seen by others. Now, why is it? Why are they doing this? Back to the text, what does Jesus say? Look at verse 5. For they love. You see that? What do they love? They love to be seen by others, and it controls their actions. You see how their loves are out of order, and it distorts their actions. Jesus says their heart is in the wrong place. They're not praying to God. They're praying to be seen by others, and it's working out in their feet and with their tongues and in their hands. What does Jesus do? Well, he begins to expose them. He says, why do they do this? That they may be seen by others. And truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Did you see what Jesus just did? He took the mask that they had on their face and he took it off. He says, look at them for what they really are. They're not praying to God. They're praying to be seen by others. And what type of reward should they expect when they pray to be seen by others? Well, they get it. Right then, right there, praise for their flowery words and their long prayers. But don't expect anything else. Expect the heavens to be shut to those type of prayers. So, how does this work out in our life? We pray to God alone. And how does Jesus work that out in his application? Well, verse 6 is the application. He says, but when you pray, remember, disciples are praying people. Go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. If you want to get to the heart of prayer, number one, don't pray for show. Number two, pray in secret. What does that mean? God's people are a praying people to an audience of one. An audience of one. He says, go into your closet, into your room. Now, when he says that, that specific word means a room in a house that's on the inside with no windows. And people in that day of age would almost always pray out loud. Jesus is saying, go to a place that you can pray and let your heart be opened to God and talk to him alone. Most prayers were out loud, and so even when you go into that secret place, they would pray out loud. But Jesus is saying you don't pray for show. You pray to God from the heart. And he says, when you do that, when you go to that place that's in secret, that place that you go by yourself and you begin to talk to God from the heart, the Father who is in secret will hear you. Let me ask you this question. Is there anywhere that you can go that God won't hear your prayer? I remember being underground, under 60 feet underground, in the dark, in the middle of the prairie in Montana. And every time I prayed a prayer, I knew God would hear me. You can't run away from the presence of God. I love the psalm that says that much better than I can. Psalm 139, the psalmist says this, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, even your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, and the light about me is night, even the darkness is not dark to you, O God. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. You cannot go anywhere in this universe in which God cannot hear you pray. So friends, pray to God. Pray to God alone. Open up your heart to him. Now, when you pray to the audience of one from the heart, what does Jesus say God will do? And your Father, who sees you in secret, will reward you. How can we take this truth that Jesus just taught us and apply it to our everyday life? Number one, first and most basic to prayer of the disciple is when you pray to God alone. There's no place in the Old Testament or in the New Testament that we find a prayer recorded that's to any other being or person than to God alone. We do not pray to angels. We do not pray to special people who have gone on before. We pray to God alone. What do you mean when I say that? Jesus is teaching us to come to God as a Father who loves us and who is merciful and gracious and who will hear us and who will answer our prayer. Do not settle for anything less than that. You, child of the King, can come to the Father and say, "Our Father who art in heaven." That's what Jesus has given to you through his precious blood. So how do you take it home? Pray to God alone. Number two, prayer, according to Jesus, is not a performance to be seen, but a personal relationship to be embraced. And here it is. We pray not to be seen, but to God alone. Now, I want you to ask a question, something like this. Well, what about public prayer, Pastor? I mean, you stood up this morning in this pulpit and prayed out in front of everybody else. How does that fit into the Christian church? Well, Jesus prayed in public. The apostles prayed in public. And even here, when Jesus gets ready to teach us the prayer of the disciple, he begins by saying, "Our Father," in plural, meaning that this is supposed to be said among God's people. The issue is not praying in public. The issue is, to whom are you praying to when you pray, and why are you doing it? Public prayer is meant to bring everybody together and to intercede on the behalf of somebody else or to praise God together, but to lift up all our voices together as one to God. It's not for show. So when I'm praying, my prayer is that you would be praying along with me to the one, the only one that deserves our prayer, God. So that's the way Jesus teaches us to pray. We pray to God alone, not for show, but in secret, beginning with our hearts. Point number two, back to the basics. So we pray to God, and we pray in faith. When we pray to God, the way we come to prayer is an expression of our trust in Him. And Jesus instructs us to pray with simplicity and with sincerity. Have you ever heard of one of those alarms that starts out real quiet? Beep, 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 beep. But if you don't acknowledge it, what does it do? Yep. Beep, 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 beep. And if it doesn't acknowledge it, what does it do? Beep, 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 beep. And finally it says, "Wake up!" Right? Wake up! It just goes from quiet to large to get your attention, hopefully in a gentle manner, but it often doesn't work that way, right? Did you know that the people during Jesus' day treated prayer like that? When they try to pray to their little g gods and their goddesses, they would try to gain God's attention by using long prayers and loud prayers. That's the way Jesus describes it here in verse 7. Let's read it and see what Jesus is talking about. He says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Pray with simplicity, he's saying, not babble. That's the word that he's sort of using there. Vain repetitions, empty phrases, babble. What's the picture that's being painted here? Somebody praying to God, and they go on and on and on and on, using special phrases and special words, getting louder and louder so that they can get the attention of God. And Jesus says, don't do that. That's not how Christians pray. You see, they think that with just the right words, in just the right way, in just the right volume, in just the right length, that then and only then will they get the attention of God. And Jesus says, don't do that. And how does he say that? He exposes them in their false belief. And when you pray, verse 7, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Did you see that? Jesus says, they think they will be heard because of their many words. And the flip side is, they're not going to be heard because of their many words. Well, what's going on here? What is Jesus teaching us? When we pray, just come to God in simplicity. What does that mean? You just come to God and you tell him what's on your heart. Right then, right there. Oh God, I love you. Thank you so much for doing that for me. Oh God, when I see your beauty in your scripture and in Jesus, I just want to give you praise and honor and glory. Or maybe it's, Father, I'm so sorry for doing that. I said something I shouldn't say. Oh, I didn't do that, and now I know that I should have. Or you tell him, I'm struggling in this area. Please help me. Simply tell God what's on your heart. That's all that Jesus asks you to do. When you pray, pray to God alone with simplicity. Not with many words. Not with a formula to gain favor. Prayer is not an exercise so that we are right with God. It is a conversation that we have with Almighty God. Simply share your heart to God. It's when you begin to pray to God in this manner that the coldness starts to go away. And the routine is not routine anymore. And you want to come into the presence of a friend that has power, all power, and say, this is where I'm struggling. Please help me. Your prayer life will come alive when you begin to pray with simplicity to God Almighty. And this leads us to the next step. When you pray with simplicity, the next step is pray with sincerity. And that's verse 8. He says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. In our life and in our world, we usually, if we're going to help somebody, we have to ask them, well, what can I help you with, right? I had a coworker when I worked at the hospital, at the Children's Hospital of the King's Daughters. And she would answer the phone like this almost every single time without fail. She would go, hello, sir or ma'am, this is Tanya at Children's Hospital of the King's Daughters Radiology. How may I be of service to you? Every time, I just still remember it. It's like, just like that, like clockwork. But what she was getting at is, I know that you're calling for a reason, and let me help you. How can I be of service to you? Or imagine somebody comes up to your door and knocks. And they say, can you help me? What's your next question? How? Or what's going on? You need to know what's going on in order to help them. Is that the case when we pray to God? And the answer is no, it isn't. Look at verse 8 again. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, right now, at this very moment, you need to ask this question. Well, why pray? If God already knows what's going on in my life, why do I even need to pray about it? Isn't that the question that comes to your mind? What's the answer to that question? When we pray, we are not telling God anything that he doesn't already know. When we pray, we are putting God in his proper place. And we're putting ourselves in our proper place. We're not telling him what he doesn't know. We're telling him, I know that you are God, and I'm weak, and I need you. And that delights him. It delights him when you do that. Illustration. Do you remember that time that Jesus was walking on the water? And Peter says, that's Jesus. Lord, bid me come. And he says, come. And Peter himself begins to walk on water out to meet Jesus. And as his eyes is on Jesus, he walks. But as the wind and the waves come up around him, what does Peter begin to do? He begins to sink. In that moment, does Jesus know what's going on? Absolutely. In that moment, what does Peter say? Lord, save me. Do you see immediately what happens? You're Lord, I'm not. You know what's going on. Take care of me. And Jesus reaches out his hand and lifts him up. Prayer is not telling God what he doesn't know. He already knows it all. Prayer is telling God that you know who he is and you know who you are. And you rank yourself under him. Friends, our sincerity in our prayers means that we acknowledge the Father for who he is. He is God. We are his people. He is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture. In prayer, you place your needs at the feet of King Jesus. In prayer, you place your life into the hands of him that holds the world. In prayer, you rest yourself in the arms of a God mighty to say. Simple, sincere prayer to God shapes what we say. Now, how do I conclude this morning? Christ has taught us how to pray. GS squared, right? You pray to God with simplicity and sincerity. But Christ has done more than that. When Jesus will teach us to pray next week how to do it, he's going to begin with two words, our Father. Why does he teach us to pray our Father? Because Jesus, the Son of God, took on flesh and became our brother. Us who was broken by sin. And he says, let me take you and make you a child of God so that you can say, our Father who art in heaven. Jesus becomes our brother so that we can say, our Father. That's how much he loves you. And he sealed this promise with his precious blood upon the cross. So friend, I bid you to pray our Father with simplicity and sincerity, knowing that Jesus is your brother who gave his life so that you could say our Father. Let us pray. Our Father, we come to you this morning and we just ask that you would give us a heart to pray. And we know that that heart is a gift of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, we know that you gave your life as our brother in the flesh, but yet as the Son of God Almighty, so that we could become children of God. And that you have sent your Spirit into our heart crying, Abba, Father. Prayer is so simple, but it's not shallow. Rather, it is very profound. So, Lord, I pray that you would give us this week, this lifetime, the heart of prayer to pray to God alone with simplicity and sincerity. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.